And I volunteered to do the introduction this morning just because you folks wouldn't know Paul. Paul is someone that I've met this past summer and when I began this journey that I've been telling you about. And I tell you, right off the bat, Paul just struck me as the kind of guy that I wanted to spend time with. And it's funny, his name is Paul Allen, and I actually coined the phrase, I guess he's never heard this before, but I call him Pa, you know, and I don't know, whatever, it works for me, but he said he's never heard that. But anyways, he is like a Pa to me, and he is to all the guys that we work with. We've just been so blessed by the encouragement that he provides. There's usually not a day, you know, a couple days without a phone call or an email or something, just asking how it's going, wanting to spur you on. And what I hope this morning is as he shares from the word that you are encouraged and that you can really kind of catch a glimpse of his heart and even what's drawn me to these guys. I feel so blessed that this whole group of HMI, they're all kind of like this, and you know, different personalities, but they're all such caring and encouraging people. And I pray this morning that you would be encouraged by that, that you would not leave this place the same way you came in. You'd feel inspired, you'd feel excited to go out to some sunshine, and that just something that Paul would say this morning would encourage you, would touch your heart, and that you'd maybe even have a new thought about God that you didn't think before. So, Paul Allen, I'll let you, he's going to kind of talk about himself a little bit, but Paul Allen, thank you.
Thanks, Jeremy. Well, good morning. It is a delight to be here this morning. I would look a little bit better if I'd had another hour's sleep. But other than that, we're fine. Thank you, Jeremy. And it is a delight to have people like Jeremy that we are able to work with. And he is well worth the investment that you as a church family and as friends are making in the ministry and in the impact that he's having through Hockey Ministries here in the London area. Hockey Ministries is an organization that you may not be particularly familiar with. Because of the nature of our ministry, we have tended to fly under the radar. We've actually been around for about 38 years. Our head office is based in Montreal, and we work with hockey at the elite level. That is that we have a chapel ministry that works with the National Hockey League. We work with the American Hockey League. So myself and my colleague, Mark Osborne, some of you will remember, played for the Leafs, works for Leafs TV now. We work with a very small group of Toronto Maple Leafs. We work with the Toronto Marlies, and we work with the Hamilton Bulldogs, who are the farm team for the Montreal Canadiens. And then that goes on throughout. We have about 20 teams that we work with in the National Hockey League, and we work with just about all the American Hockey League teams. And then there are leagues that you've never heard of, the East Coast Hockey League and the Central Hockey League and the Southern Professional Hockey League and all of those leagues in which, you know, young Canadian and European young men go and they try to make some sort of a living there. And we are almost involved in every one of those teams. We're involved in all the leagues. We have more than 300 chapels that now go on. And the actual reality that we're facing now is that because of the impact of junior hockey, that is, we work with 18 of the 20 OHL teams, that it is just filtering up into the NHL. And so players that have gone through our programs at the major junior level are now sort of arriving at the National Hockey League or arriving in the American Hockey League, and they are looking for, you know, where's this chapel that we had? And so it is continuing to grow. It is certainly not an easy ministry. The challenges that we face, you can imagine the culture of hockey. You know that we as a country, we have a dysfunctional relationship with hockey. I mean, we shut our country down while the Olympics were on, weren't you? I don't know, did you make it for the 10 o'clock service when there was a 7 o'clock? You probably did, eh? You're spiritual giants. But we lived and died on, you know, that gold medal game and how well the women's team did. And you know, I live in a city that, needs medication and counseling. I live in Toronto. And, what can you say about the Toronto Maple Leafs? You know, I am so old that I actually attended two Stanley Cup parades in the city of Toronto. That's how old I am. Hockey is just this. It's got this grip on our country. It is a wonderful sport, but it is an evil god, and it is a destructive god. And there is an underside to major junior hockey, and there's certainly all of the problems that go with young men getting tremendous amounts of money and celebrity and all of those things. And the missing element in all of their lives is Jesus. And that's what Hockey Ministry seeks to do, is to bring Jesus into this false god of Canada. And it is not easy. I say that we are building trust in an atmosphere of suspicion, that general managers and coaches are worried, is it going to make my players soft? Are they, the whole deal that they would be thinking about that? And it is, you just have to build trust and relationships. And it's been amazing. I've been involved in Hockey Ministries for well over 30 years, but actually on staff for 10. And to see the growth that has happened in those 10 years. 10 years ago, we had two teams in Ontario and maybe 8 players involved. And now we have over 30 teams involved with us. We work at the university level. We work major, junior, at the pro level, and we also work at what is called the OHA. That is where players want to get scholarships. They go and work there. And if you can just think of this, think of the demographic of a young man who's 17 years old or 19 years old, and think about, well, what sort of a religious experience would they be having on a regular basis in Ontario? What percentage would it be? At best I could come up with, would be 7% of that group would be involved in something, and that might be high. But at the OHL level, the Lord has been very gracious to us, and we're almost at 40% of the players attend our ministry now. And that's astounding to us. So when you think of the Belleville Bulls and the Peterborough Petes and the London Knights, and when London is still one of the most difficult areas to work in, the Kitchener Rangers, all of those things, we have had just been, the Lord has really blessed us, and we're very grateful for that. The other aspect of our ministry is we have camps, and we had a camp not too far from here, Conestoga, but they decided to shut that rink, so we've moved it to Brantford. And we've moved it to a rink, and maybe you've heard of the guy. It's called the Wayne Gretzky Center. But we also have one in Kirkland Lake. We have one in Kingston. And we have one in Jackson's Point on Lake Simcoe. And these are just wonderful places for kids of all, 9 to 17 to go, boys and girls, of any level of hockey, to go and have a great week. They'll have a world-class on-ice instruction. They will have a great time off the ice, but of course the point is that we want to share Jesus Christ with them. And every year, scores of kids in Ontario and hundreds of kids across Canada, the United States, and in Europe, where we have camps, come to know Jesus. And I was speaking once, and our very first camp took place about 38 years ago in Montreal, and I had a picture of it, and a man came up to me and said, I went to your camp. And I go, oh yeah, well, no, I went to that camp. He said, I was raised in poverty in Montreal, and somebody reached out to my mother, gave her some money so I could come to the camp, and I don't know if he still is, but I said, what do you do now? He says, I'm the academic dean of Tyndale Seminary. That's a great story. But that story is told over and over again. I speak at churches. I usually don't get invited back, but I do speak at churches. And I've had a number of pastors who I didn't know before, they get up and they say, I came to Jesus at one of the HMI camps. And so there is a love for hockey, and it's a great sport. But it does have this grip on our country, and we desire very much to impact that culture with the person of Jesus Christ. And, we obviously work with people who, quote-unquote, some of them are famous, some of them you've heard of, and, of course, most of them, many of the people we work with aren't. But we have a book out. It's got David Booth featured in it, Shane Doan, other NHL players featured in it. And then we have this Play to Win Hockey New Testament. And I give Eric Stahl a hard time about this, but Eric Stahl wrote the foreword. And I go, isn't that a bit presumptuous that you wrote the foreword to the New Testament? You know, there is no foreword to the New Testament. But Jerome Iginla and Ryan Smith and others, are their faith stories are featured in that. And, you know, this is just a way to try and get people to read the Bible. This is the Bible, but it has testimonies intertwined in it. And these are just testimonies of faith of people that, you know, hockey people might be interested in. The books are available at the back. If you can throw $10 towards them, that's great. If you can't, but you know somebody that would value, you know, would help to give one of these to one, just take one and give it to it. We also have information at the back about our camp ministry. One of the people that we do work with and he's outspoken in his faith, his name is Mike Fisher, and he plays for Nashville for years. He played with Ottawa. We've just got a little video that sort of features his faith story. We'll show it.
Boiler sweep to the front of the net. Low, just looking and still in front.
Favorite player was Wayne Gretzky. I followed the Leafs, obviously being from Peterborough. I had a Habs jersey. I liked the Oilers because of Gretzky. It was pretty intimidating as a 19-year-old, and now I was so jacked up. I don't really remember a lot. I just know that I was all over the ice. Didn't really know what I was doing, but it was a lot of fun. Growing up in a Christian home, I came to know the Lord at a young age. I struggled as a teenager. It became real in my early 20s. I struggled my first couple of years in the NHL trying to fit in a little bit. I knew the truth, but just trying to figure it out on my own for a long time. I knew that I was playing in the NHL for a reason and started to use some of those gifts and glorify the Lord through it. Story. I was in Boston. I got hurt. I ended up spraining my ankle during the game when I went off. I was sitting on the change table in the visiting room. So I went for an x-ray that came back, and the clock had stopped at 12:12. I knew that was God kind of giving me a little bit of a heads up and just relax, trusting me, good or bad. And it was kind of a neat moment. The x-rays came back, and they were fine, and missed, you know, a few weeks, and I was able to get back for the playoffs, but that was a moment where the clock wasn't moving, it was stopped, and I would keep looking, and it's not moving, and I knew the verse, and it came to mind, so it's special, and it's a simple verse, but it's obviously some great advice. It's been better than the single days, because you have someone there to encourage each other. Obviously, our schedules are a little tough, and we don't get to see each other, you know, all the time, but we enjoy our time together when we are together. It's just really special, and there's obviously now with iChat and Skype, and we stay connected that way, and having a spiritual connection obviously helps too, and being able to encourage each other that way and build each other up, so it's been that's been real good.
The Hockey Ministries Memorial Cup Breakfast coming up on May the 10th has been mentioned already, and the Memorial Cup comes to Ontario every 3 years. 1 year it's in Quebec, 1 year it's in Western Canada, and then 1 year it's in Ontario. And for the last two, so over the last really 6 years, we've done two of these breakfasts. We did one in Mississauga and one in Kitchener, and they were outstanding events to bring people to allow people to hear wonderful faith stories of hockey people. to again have people come to faith in Jesus Christ. And so that's what we're doing again here in London, where it's going to happen the week before the Memorial Cup starts, May the 10th. We have two featured speakers. One is the Hockey Hall of Fame, one of the few men to ever score 700 goals in the NHL, is Mike Gartner. And the other one is Laurie Boschman. And if any of you have been around, Laurie Boschman works with us in Ottawa. He was the first captain of the Ottawa Senators. It's Laurie Boschman who gave Mike Fisher that verse just before he got hurt. And Laurie Boschman was driven out of town in Toronto, if some of you remember this story, by the eccentric owner of the Toronto Maple Leafs, Harold Ballard, because Laurie Boschman, as a 21-year-old player, accepted Jesus Christ as a Savior. And back in that time, it was just unacceptable, and he moved on. He had a long career in the NHL. He had a very good career in the NHL, but there was no place for him in Toronto. And that sort of tells you the culture of hockey, and we're grateful that that culture has changed. Now, you might be looking at me and going, well, this guy doesn't look like a hockey player. And that's absolutely true. I love the game of hockey, and I still play the game of hockey. But I have never played it at a very high level. The best thing that ever happened to my hockey career was the last act of the Ernie Eves government was it made Tyndale Seminary a university. If you know that there's a school in Toronto called Tyndale, in fact, it has a history in the London area. But I was the captain of the seminary hockey team, which means nothing, right? and now I sort of lie to people and tell them, well, I was the captain of a university team. You know, it just kind of makes things look better. Some of you will know, if you've ever followed, you know, careers like Gretzky or Tavares or those guys, that, you know, there comes a time in their career when they're 16 years old and they're playing with 19-year-olds and they're playing at a high level. Well, the next big name that's coming out is a Canadian kid, but he's playing down in Erie, Pennsylvania. His name is Connor McDavid, and he played for Team Canada at the World Juniors, and he was a 16-year-old playing very well against 19-year-olds, and, you know, that's what they say. Now, you know, I don't know what the big deal is about that, because I'm 62, and I gladly still play against 65-year-olds. So I don't know about that. Jeremy is playing a very dramatic role for us in the area of leading the charge and, you know, sort of absorbing so much of the work related to that Memorial Cup breakfast. And it's a lot of work to put it on. And, we have chapels going on throughout the province and ministry that's growing and all that, just having Jeremy on the team, providing such stability, such credibility, such creativity, is immense for us, and we greatly appreciate that. And again, as I say to you, the investments that you are putting into his ministry, his life, is significant and will have eternal implications. So thank you, Jeremy, and thank you to the church family. Allow me to read the word for you. I'm going to read for you Acts chapter 1. In Acts chapter 1, you will be familiar with this, just the first verses of Acts chapter 1. It says, "In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command, 'Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.' So when they met together, they asked him, 'Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?' He said to them, 'It's not for you to know the times or the dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and even to the ends of the earth. My background is that I was as my life sort of came about, and you're never quite sure what you want to do, but I ended up in youth ministry. I ended up in camp ministry. I was a youth pastor in a church in Toronto for 7 years. I then found myself teaching in a seminary in the middle of the Civil War in Angola. My wife is a nurse, and she nursed there. And at the time, it was considered the worst country in the world to live in. 50% of every child under 5 died. I saw that note up there about a North Korean prayer time. I happened to be in the capital city, and I was in a government building, and I got on an elevator with these strange, strange men. And they were small, and they were obviously from Asia somewhere, and they all had pictures of the president of North Korea on site, but they could not talk to me. They could not, just the darkness and the suffering that is going on in North Korea. But Angola was in this terrible civil war. There was a communist government in place at the time. Soviet military advisors lived around the country from me. I lived around the corner from me. I had terrible situations where literally a vehicle blew up in front of me as I drove over a landmine. I was driving along in my vehicle, and a man ran out of the woods with his back to me, facing the woods, yelling, I don't know if you speak Portuguese, but now tira, now tira, now tira, don't shoot, don't shoot, don't shoot. And somehow they recognized my vehicle, and they were calling off an attack. But, people say, what did you learn while you were there? And what I learned, I learned about the faithfulness of God's people, that these people, the church in living in Angola in that time, were an incredibly faithful people. They were courageous people. The university students that I worked with, my goodness, the courage that they had to stand up for their faith. I learned about community, that they cared more about me than what I could teach them. That there's sort of that whole community relationship that's there. I learned about faith and generosity from my wife, Anne. My goodness, she had faith in giving everything away and trusting the Lord's going to look after us. Got to help these people. Got to help these people. And my eyes are getting bigger. She was wonderful the way she was able to do that. But I also learned how spiritually needy it is here. That this is a great country. It's a free country. My goodness, the safety social nets that we have, the healthcare system, all of those things. It's absolutely incredible, but we are spiritually lost, aren't we? God is irrelevant to the day-to-day running of our governments, of our systems, our banking, everything. And therefore, it is somehow we have this challenge before us of how do we engage Canadian culture? How do we engage our neighbors? How do we engage our friends? How do we engage our communities with the good news of Jesus Christ? And in this story, Luke, who we believe wrote this, starts off, and he is just walking through a very brief chronology, but he makes a very significant point, and that is, he says, after his sufferings, after Jesus' sufferings, I don't know how liturgical we are in this church family, but we are in the Lent season. People give things up. When my son played hockey, we had this huge bodybuilder. His was one of the dads on the team, and he was Orthodox from the Egypt. He was a Christian a Coptic from Egypt, and he was sitting there and he was eating this giant plate of French fries. And I, okay, now what are you doing? Well, he says, I'm just eating vegetables. That's my kind of vegetable. We're in that season where we are heading towards Easter. And we will take our chapels with the Leafs and with the Marlies and with the Hamilton Bulldogs. And we will try to take them through this historic reality that the Lord of the universe came. He lived, he taught, he performed miracles, he was born of a virgin, and then he was arrested and he was tortured and he was put to death and he rose again. He ascended into heaven, and he will come back. But that's the essence of what this church is about. That's the essence of what the followers of Jesus Christ in North Korea are about. That's what's going on in Angola, and that's what Hockey Ministries is about. We have no other message. We simply proclaim that Christ came, he lived, he died for our sins. And he rose again to proclaim victory over death and sin. And he rose again. And Luke starts there. After his sufferings, after that event that occurred, he says, after that, he then goes on to say he demonstrated in many, many occasions that he had risen from the dead. He gave convincing proof. Everything that we stand for, everything we believe, you know, you can believe the Lord's coming back this way, or you can believe the Lord's coming back that way. You might, you know, prefer one version of the Bible over another. You might like, you know, hymns. You might like, you know, not hymns, you know, however it is you do it, that's fine. But here is what the essence of who we are is. And he proved and he showed that he had risen from the day. From the dead. It's a brand new day. It brings a whole different perspective to the world. That's why we exist as a ministry. That's the only message ultimately that we have for hockey players. We love to, you know, to say that yes, you know, if maybe somebody will become a better hockey player if they attend our chapel. There's a hockey player and he plays for the Florida Everblades. The Florida Everblades. Hey, isn't that a clever name? And he was our chapel leader. And then they went to him and they signed him to play. Well, if you follow hockey at all, the reason they signed him is because his name is Brian Rafalski. And at the top of his career, he became a follower of Jesus Christ. He was making $8 million a year. And he said, that's done for me. So maybe somebody's going to become a chapel leader and forget about hockey. Maybe they're going to become worse hockey players because other things become more important. There's no guarantee it's, you know, that if you join our chapels, you'll become a better hockey player. It's not about that. God is not looking for better hockey players. He's looking for children to be in a relationship with him. And so it just transforms our lives. But these disciples could not help themselves. They could not help themselves. And so what do they ask him? They ask him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? Do you see where that's going? Okay, you could perform miracles. You could turn water into wine. You could turn fish and bread into more food than McDonald's. And now you've risen from the dead. Where do we fit into this? There's got to be a way this works for us. There's got to be a way we can acquire power. There's got to be a way we can acquire influence. And so he says, so they say to him, so now, are you going to take over? You know, and you know, there's 11 of us right now. You know, like, are we going to become significant? Are we going to become powerful? Are we going to become celebrities? Are we going to become wealthy? Because you're going to establish your kingdom. I mean, eventually, don't we always want it to be about us? We have a quote here from Rick Warren, and have you read the book, The Purpose Driven Life? Now, did you read the book and think you could have written it? I mean, it was so down and, you know, simple. I mean, I thought, man, you know, like, think of all the books, you know, all it sold. But it says this, at the very beginning of the book, The purpose of your life is far greater than your own personal fulfillment, your peace of mind, or even your happiness. It's far greater than your family, your career, or even your wildest dreams and ambitions. If you want to know why you were placed on this planet, you must begin with God. You were born by His purpose and for His purpose. I work with people, and they can't help themselves but make it about them. When a Toronto Maple Leaf goes to Sick Children's Hospital to visit kids who are dying of cancer, it becomes about them. The press wants, isn't this wonderful? Look what they're doing. You know, everybody's patting them on the back for what they're doing while the poor kid is suffering. The kid just, it's just insidious what celebrity, what wearing the blue and white does, what money does. And it's right there. You know, the disciples, they couldn't help themselves. But, you know, even after the resurrection, and we can't help ourselves. You know, it becomes, a, you know, well, how does this help me? How, what's this about me? And it says, it's not about that. The life and death of the resurrection of Jesus Christ just transforms us into a new reality. Bertrand Russell, if you remember, the philosopher of the early 20th century, an atheist, but he says, unless you assume a God, the question of life's purpose is meaningless. Woody Allen, of all people, said that if you take away the spiritual promises of life, you are left with despair. Unless there is a God. I don't know if, you know, I'm sure most of you don't listen to Black Sabbath. But I don't. I mean, Ozzy Osbourne is a weird guy. But they were nominated at the Grammys for a song entitled, There Is No God. And I heard that. I never heard the song. To this day, I've never heard the song. But I looked it up on the internet, and it's There Is No God? And if you read the words, as weird as the words are, and as bizarre and as twisted as they are, the song is about they're terrified. They're terrified that there is no God. And we're moving into a generation that is desperately looking for something which is far greater than themselves, that is bigger, that is supernatural. Why do you think there are so many shows about werewolves? Why are there so many shows about vampires? Why are there so many shows about the supernatural? Because they're desperately looking for that which is beyond science, beyond the explained. Because they've seen the hopelessness of that, the lostness of that. And that's certainly true of the hockey world. But Jesus says to them, no, it's not going to be about you. Let me tell you what's going to happen. It's not for you to know these times and dates, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. It's not about you, it's what God is going to do in you. It is that transformation. And you will be my witnesses. This is what's going to happen to you. You're not going to be in control. You're not going to get power. You're not going to get celebrity. But this is what's going to happen in you. You will receive power. The Holy Spirit will come upon you. You will be my witnesses. When you're around hockey players, and it's probably true of a lot of people, but when you're around hockey players and they kind of find out you're quote-unquote religious or spiritual, they'll tell you, well, I went to church, you know, like once, you know, or I, you know, and they kind of, you know, well, I drove by a church one, you know. But they'll talk about karma. Do your friends talk about karma? They talk about karma? And karma, you know, is you know, sort of what goes around comes around. And I read an interview with the Irish rocker Bono. And he says this, if you could put it up there. You see, at the center of all religions is the idea of karma. You know, what you put out comes back to you. An eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. Or in physical laws, every action is met by an equal or an opposite one. It's clear to me that karma is at the very heart of the universe. I'm absolutely sure of it. And yet along comes this idea called grace to upend all of that. To upend all of that, as you reap, so you will sow stuff. Grace defies reason and logic. Love interrupts, and if you like, the consequences of your actions, which in my case is very good news because I've done a lot of stupid stuff. And he goes on, and he is very clear that he believes that his sins were taken on the cross by the death of Jesus Christ. That's what, you know, that there is karma. The hockey player lives in a world where if you practice, you will get better. If you succeed, you will get more money. So that makes sense to them. Except all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. You don't want to be judged by karma. I had a hockey player, he couldn't believe he just didn't make it to the NHL. You know, what do you think I did wrong, he said to me. And I said, buddy, if you got what you deserved for everything you've done wrong, you would have fried long ago. You know, like, don't get thinking like that. You know, I spent time with an NHL guy on Friday afternoon, and he makes a ton of dough, but his year is a disaster. And you know, he's just kind of processing. You know, have I done something? You know, and he's a devout follower of Jesus. But, you know, just this creeps in. Have I done something wrong? Am I being, you know, boy, you don't want to live in that world. We live in a world where HMI and this church offers this incredible gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ. It is by grace we are saved. So we shatter this, you know, this idea of karma, but rather because grace has come in, this transformation of God in our lives takes place so that we are his witnesses. The Holy Spirit comes on us. I have a master's degree. I hope you're impressed with that. I crammed 3 years of study into 8. Okay. Like, I am not that bright. But that has nothing to do with the Holy Spirit coming on me. I am ordained by a denomination in this country. You might say, what's wrong with that denomination? But, you know, they got Reverend Paul. That has nothing to do with the Holy Spirit coming upon us. You see, the wonderful thing is that hockey player whose life is not going the way he wants it to be, his season is a disaster. What? The Holy Spirit has come upon him and he is a witness in the dressing room, in the community, amongst his family. Because it's not about his goodness or his success. It's about the living, resurrected Jesus coming upon him and living through him. And folks, that's my only hope. Because I am the lowest person on the food chain that gets into the hallway between the leaf dressing room and the visitor's dressing room. You cannot get less significant. And even to the point of people don't want to make eye contact with you. I'll be standing there, and then I'll be talking to somebody from the press, and a hockey player will come along, and they will talk to that person, and they will, you know, and I come away thinking, my goodness, I've lost a lot of weight. He didn't even see me. But they will just ignore you. They don't want nothing to do with you. And in a world of celebrity and fame and all that stuff, yeah, I'm the religious guy. You know, I'm down here. I have nothing to offer them. I can't say, hey, you want to go to the Swiss Chalet? You know, we could order extra fries. You know, the guy makes millions of dollars. He doesn't want to go to the Swiss Chalet. He's not impressed if he comes to my house. There's nothing. He's not impressed with me. I don't drive a nice car. I don't drive, you know, like, there's nothing. What is our hope? That the Holy Spirit will come upon us. Because we're good? No, because we're forgiven. Because of the grace of God. And we will be His witnesses. You know, Hockey Ministries is international, and it is to the uttermost parts of the world. We have a chapel in Rio Grande, Texas. It's right on the border of Mexico. They sell out every night, 5,000 people. 2,500 come from Mexico, 2,500 come from Texas. Our chapel leader was born in Mexico but is a green-carded American pastor. He comes to me, he goes, "Paul, I don't know why they drop the puck. I don't know what offside is. I don't know why they blow the whistle. I don't know anything." But that guy is leading French-Canadian kids to Jesus. Now, who would have ever thought that? How are we going to reach French-Canadian kids? Well, there's this Spanish guy down in, you know, who would have thought of that? We were asked to provide skating and hockey instruction in Kazakhstan. Who lives in Kazakhstan? Muslims. Muslims are learning about Jesus. The Kuwaiti national hockey team is coached by Bruce Smith, who works for Hockey Ministries. Muslims. Who would have ever thought that? Who would have thought that? I mean, and that's why. Because God says, "I'm going to come upon you. I'm going to come upon you in power. And you, in your university, in your warehouse, in your office, in your neighborhood, in Brazil, in wherever you go, you will be my witnesses. You are going to be gathering to pray for North Korea." My daughter runs a refugee center in downtown Toronto. She makes me be Santa Claus every year because I was a senior pastor for 18 years in Toronto, and we used to have evening services, and I used to make her go. And so now she's going, "You used to make me go to, you know, everybody else is watching Disney. You got to be Santa Claus." And I go there, and there are these terrified North Koreans. And they're there, but they think the cops are going to come and kick the doors down and drag them away. The horrible, horrible stories that the terror, the suffering, the torture that they sit there and they tell you that they're living through. But somehow there are Chinese who are witnesses in North Korea. Why? Because of the grace of God, because of the power. Our ministry, people either get what we do or they don't. And, you know, like, why would you support us? You know, like, why would you? You can support, you know. But as the Lord, you know, leads people, they realize, well, we've got to go across the ocean. We got to go across the ocean and tell people about Jesus. But we have to go across the street, too. And we go across the street and we go across the ocean. Thank you for your support. Thank you for your care, and understand and be encouraged that because of the grace and the presence and the power of the resurrected Jesus, the Holy Spirit has come upon you and you are His witnesses. Heavenly Father, thank you that we can join together as God's people and we can enjoy you and we can worship you. And we know that your word is true and we know that your Holy Spirit is at work. And we know that we are so thankful it is not dependent upon you, upon us, but we are totally dependent upon you. Bless and encourage us as we go from here in Christ's name. Amen.
I invite you to stand. This song, it's been around a long time now. Shout to the north and the south, sing to the east and the west. Jesus is Savior to all, Lord of heaven and earth. I know lots of times we go, well, we'll have the men sing, the women sing, but you know what? A unified church is a church that sings for each other also, and we sing as a collective body that we have the most amazing message. And sometimes we just don't need to be silent about it. We just need to shout. So I invite you to sing as loud as you possibly can. Great, glorious King, you are strong and you feel weak. In our brokenness, come to me. Shout to the north and the south, sing to the east and the west. Jesus is Savior to all, Lord of heaven and earth. Lots of women of the truth stand and sing to broken hearts, who can know the healing power of our awesome King of love. Shout to the north and the south, sing to the east and the west. Jesus is Savior to all, Lord of heaven and earth. Yes, we will shout to the north and the south, sing to the east and the west. Jesus is Savior to all, Lord of heaven and earth. We've been through fire, we've been through rain, we've been refined by the power of His name. We've fallen deeper in love with You. You burn the truth on our lips. We will shout to the north and the south, sing to the east and the west. Jesus is Savior to all, Lord of heaven and earth. As a church with broken wings, fill this place with songs again of our God who reigns on high. By His grace again we'll fly. Shout, sing to the east and the west. Jesus, Savior to all, Lord of heaven and earth. Yes, we will shout to the north and the south, sing to the east and the west. Jesus, Savior to all, Lord of heaven. Savior to all, Lord of heaven and earth. Yes, He is Lord of heaven and earth. Lord of heaven and earth.
Amen. Have a great day.